Look, payday's awesome, but running payroll, calculating taxes and deductions, staying compliant, that's not easy. Unless, of course, you have Gusto. Gusto is a simple online payroll and benefits tool built for small businesses like yours. Gusto gets your team paid while automatically filing your payroll taxes. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k, health insurance, and workers' comp, and it makes onboarding new employees a breeze. We love it so much, we really do use it ourselves, and we have 4 years, and I personally recommend you give it a try, no matter how small your business is. And to sweeten the deal, just for listening today, you also get 3 months free. Go to gusto.com/beingboss, that's gusto.com/beingboss. Welcome to Being Boss, a podcast for creatives, business owners, and entrepreneurs who want to take control of their work and live life on their own terms. I'm your host, Emily Thompson, and in this episode, I'm joined by Corey from the Being Boss team to have a chat about knowing when to quit and if quitting is even real. You can find all the tools, books, and links we reference on the show notes at www.beingboss.club. And if you like this episode, be sure to subscribe to the show and share us with a friend. Our audience survey results are in, and yet again, the biggest challenge facing business owners like you is marketing. So I have a podcast recommendation for you. It's time to check out Imperfect Action, hosted by Steph Taylor, brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Imperfect Action is a bite-sized online marketing podcast for business owners. Join Steph as she answers all your business marketing questions and deep dives into the nitty-gritty of online marketing, content marketing, social media marketing, and marketing strategy for business owners. I recently had the pleasure of sitting in on a live recorded episode by Steph, where she broke down the marketing potential arising from the world of Web3 for small business like us. And y'all, listening to her talk about Web3 finally made it make sense in my head. And her library of content is just waiting for you to tune in. Listen to Imperfect Action wherever you get your podcasts. All right, Corey, now that we have our mics figured out, because we did just have a whole moment about that, and everyone was fine this entire time, how are you doing? And so glad you're back.
You know what? I'm good. And I'm so good because to wrap up a storyline, an ongoing storyline, you actually got me my name tag for my birthday back in June. And it's actually not a name tag. It's actually like a name plate for my desk. And it has my name Indeed. On it, obviously. But then underneath, my little title says professional nerd.
Yeah.
And
you need, oh, yep, go.
And I was just going to say, this actually is going to tie into this episode today because I was persistent and not quitting about asking for this name tag for like over a year. When I start something, I don't quit until I get what I want.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth? Well, you should definitely know that a lot of thought went into that name tag in both the style and design, as well as your professional nerdiness.
I look at it every day. It's sitting right in front of my computer, so I see it every time.
I love that for you. I love it. Indeed. Persistent AF. That's Corey's middle name. That's a weird name, Corey.
I like it. I'm going to change it officially. Okay.
Perfect. Yep. Perfect. Let me know and I'll change it on our bookkeeping. Perfect. I am excited about this chat today. It's funny. Every now and then we'll, you know, schedule out a batch of episodes and I'll ask the team, like, what do I need to talk about? What haven't we talked about in a while? What have you guys been seeing in the Being Boss community, perhaps? Or, you know, what sort of topics are out there in the ether that we need to bring into the Being Boss universe? And I don't remember who it was. Maybe Mary. This is who's going to get the credit for this one. I don't know. Said something about wanting to hear an episode about knowing when to quit. And Corey was like, well, I want in on that one. And I was like, well, that's weird. Why? Why does this one make you so excited? So let's start there. Why are you so excited about having a conversation about quitting?
So my reasoning is threefold, at least twofold. There might be twofold, but possibly three.
Okay.
And the first one is that I have this, not even a mantra, it's like some kind of deep down thing. If I start something, I have to see it through. Mm. Whether it ends up failing or ends up being a success or whatever, I have to see it all the way through to the end. This is like with work, with personal life. When I decided to start my Lego City hobby. I went all in, and I could not, I had to buy all of the things, because as soon as I decided that I wanted to start it, I could not stop.
You couldn't have started with like a little Lego village or like a Lego neighborhood.
That's what my dad wanted me to do for financial reasons, but no. And like every time I went outside and I saw my flower bed needed help, I put it in my mind. I could not stop thinking about it until I went and did it.
Yeah.
So as soon as I put something in my mind, I cannot quit it. Actually, this ties into the second thing. Every single job I've ever had, I actually still have. If you really think about it. Like the first paying gig I ever had with teaching, all the way back 12 years ago, I still have that teaching gig. My first paying website development job with Indie Shopography, technically that job doesn't exist anymore, but it kind of like morphed into being boss. I have never, every single job I have, I just pile on top of it because I can't actually quit a job to take over a new one. So that's two things. I don't know what the third thing is. Oh, the third thing is that I have decided that I have kind of officially stepped back from my self-employment gig to only focus on Bitty Tarot and being boss. So I guess technically I am becoming a quitter, which
You're
is very new for
quitting.
Me.
Yeah. For the first time. How does that feel?
I have not decided yet.
Okay. Okay. No, feelings just happen. You don't really decide them.
It's all still playing out. So it's still a fresh decision.
Okay.
But I don't know. It feels a little stressful because yet again, I don't like quitting things. But I know that it's the right decision because I cannot focus on that anymore with everything else I have going on.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So I have a complex relationship with quitting.
Indeed. I see why you are so excited about coming to have this chat, for sure. And as you say all those things, like, yeah, I see that in you, Corey, for sure. There's definitely been some things at you know, Indie or being boss that we've like wanted to test out that you just don't want to quit. And I'm like, no, Corey, we tested it. Now we're not going to do it no more. And you're like, but can we still? And I'm like, but no.
Test and change and then keep changing.
Test and change, but let's just not change it yet, okay? I think my relationship with quitting is the exact opposite. I love to quit things.
Yeah.
Love it. And quitting all over the place. Test and change, test and change, test and change. Not married to anything, no expectations, et cetera, et cetera. So this should make for a really interesting conversation. I'm excited to see where this goes because that is what we're talking about today. Quitting. We talk a lot around here about starting things, starting businesses, starting passion projects, starting side gigs, starting, you know, what else do we start?
Everything starts.
New habits.
Everything has a beginning. I don't know.
Right? We talk a lot about starting, everybody. Yes. But today we're going to talk about quitting. This came up because I think this is the context from which this suggestion came up, is that we're sort of in a little circle of folks, and not like in the being boss community, but I think more in like local business, where we're seeing a lot of local businesses close. This has been something that I've witnessed a lot in Chattanooga. You're witnessing it a lot kind of everywhere, I think. All the like pre-pandemic businesses that like are just at the end of their ropes are at the end of their ropes. There's a lot of pandemic businesses that started that are not really well equipped to exist in the real world, or like post-pandemic times, or weren't thought out enough to survive much longer than a little bit. I remember I actually went back into my Twitter the other day because I knew I had tweeted about this at some point and I couldn't remember when. So I tweeted about all of the houseplant businesses that were starting in Chattanooga. Because there were a lot that popped up within just a couple of weeks of each other. And it was right in the middle of the pandemic. And I remember thinking, oh, this is like going to be a short-lived trend. And my tweet was something like, I wonder how long all these cute little houseplant businesses are going to last. Well, in July, over half of them closed down within like 2 weeks of each other.
Were you keeping track of them?
No, like, no, okay. I just exist in the world and hear things along the way. And I was like, okay, called it. Like, that wasn't going to last very long. I love people, you know, pursuing their passions and doing the things. I'm not happy to see any business failing, but that was just an interesting trend for some people to follow. And so I've seen a lot of people quitting lately. And honestly, I kind of love it. And I don't love seeing people quitting. I love seeing people quitting. Does that make sense?
You like seeing people make decisions that open up new possibilities.
Absolutely that. Absolutely that. Because I think the reality of things is that doing business in the world is different now than it was 1 year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. It's just different. And I think the circumstances under which most of us started the careers or the businesses or the passion projects or whatever it is, the conditions under which we started those things are not the same as they are now. And I'm seeing a lot of people bring up this idea of quitting the thing because the market is different or they are different, their lives are different, whatever. And there's a lot of feelings that come up around quitting that I want to dive into today.
Quitting does not necessarily have to be a bad thing, which I think is going to be a big talking point today, that quitting maybe it's not something you choose to do, but kind of like in my case, it's just something that just kind of happens because something else has come along.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's kind of where I want to start with this sort of question of, is there really such a thing as quitting? Like, really, really?
Yes. Next.
Okay, fine. That one's easy. Yes. I think there is quitting, but I think that quitting has become an umbrella term for a couple of different things. And there is such a thing as just like quitting the thing and saying, fuck it, and moving on with your life, whatever. But the moving on with your life is the magic part there. Mm-hmm. Because what I actually think what a lot of people are, where they are at, is actually at a pivot. And sometimes big pivots can feel like quitting, whereas what you're really doing is just deciding to stop putting your energy into something so you can put it into something else. And so you're not a quitter. You're just choosing a different path.
Case in point would be the transition from indie shopography to being boss/almanac.
Yeah.
Where we never really quit doing indie shopography and our website stuff. It's just being boss became such a big project within the indie shopography umbrella that when being boss kind of became more successful, we had less and less time for any shopography to where it just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
Until eventually you just closed the LLC completely, but you never actually quit.
No, it did. That was a long, slow pivot. That was the slowest turnaround in the history of pivots.
Yeah.
Is what happened with that. But I actually do. I do remember quitting. I remember my moment of realizing that I was not going to go back into indie, that it wasn't that I was just going to like take a few moments to, you know, really focus on being boss. And then I was going to come back to web design. And that moment was actually one that forced a quit. And that was when our website platform that we were building all of our websites on sent out notification that they were closing down.
Yeah.
And so then it was more of a conversation of, are we, you know, just going to kind of keep, you know, dealing with our clients or servicing our clients is the better word there. Are we going to continue doing this thing and just sort of like see what happens? When that announcement was made, it was literally a decision of, okay, are we going to go to all of our clients and offer to rebuild them websites on all of these things, or are we going to quit and let them go find another solution for themselves? And so I will say for that project, I quit that day.
That was like a quit and a pivot all in one.
Yeah, it was. It was a quivot.
Oh. Hmm.
Oh, that's cute. Oh. Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Did we just make a new word? It was a quivot. That sounds like it belongs in Harry Potter. A little bit. A little bit. And I love that for that word. So a pivot comes when I imagine, when you are putting your energy from one thing into something else. And so you are technically quitting one thing to do something else, but I don't think there should be as much shame in that as there is. I think if you're quitting something to go home and just like become a couch potato for no good reason, like that's quitting. But who here actually does that?
I wish.
I know. Sometimes I wish
it sounds so much simpler.
Just grab a bag of Cheetos and lay on the couch. But like, we'd all be real tired of that in 2 weeks.
Okay, maybe for some people. That sounds like life.
So anyway, what I want to explore today is this idea that I think it's actually a really important skill to quit. And especially to know when to quit, to pivot in a way that's in your best interest, and to not feel guilty about it.
So you're saying there is such a thing as quitting?
For the purpose of this conversation, we're going to say yes. But really, I think I'm talking about the quivet here today.
Okay.
Think of a time when you felt disconnected from work. Maybe an important email got sent to spam, only for you to find it when it was way too late. Maybe a partner or a team member took an action based on old information when an update could have saved so much time and effort. Or maybe you finally went on vacation and came back to customer complaints. Being disconnected has a steep cost. If your teams and systems aren't talking to each other, it's impossible to see the full picture, to take the right actions. And do you know who pays the steepest price? It's not you, it's your customer. With all of your teams on the same page and all of your data in one place, HubSpot can transform your everyday conversations, strategic decision-making sessions, and everything in between into moments customers feel good about. And with a lovingly crafted suite of tools, you can seamlessly connect your team so everyone has access to the same data and you're able to focus on what really matters, your customers. Learn how HubSpot can help your business grow better at HubSpot.com. Okay, so I think where I'd like to start is how society feels about quitting, because there is a reason why we have a lot of shame and guilt around it. And as I was prepping for this episode, I did a Google image search for quitting quotes.
I'm actually very impressed with you because you actually did some research in prepping this
Thanks,
agenda.
Corey.
So I applaud you.
Thanks. I sometimes do some. So I have a couple quotes for you. I think you're going to all recognize some of these. One is from Russell Simmons. There's no failures, only quitters. Two, Muhammad Ali. Don't quit. Suffer now and live the rest of your life as a champion.
I love that one.
Right? Next one is a Filipino proverb that has also been, what's it called? Been credited to a couple of white dudes, but originally a Filipino proverb. A quitter never wins, a winner never quits.
So I'm a winner.
According to this, yes.
Yes.
Indeed you are.
And I've never won anything.
There was also this general sentiment that history does not talk about quitters.
Mm.
So there is no wonder, everybody, that we feel so much shame and guilt around the idea of quitting anything. And this can be your job. This can be a business that's no longer working for you for one reason or another. This can be a relationship. It can be a bad habit or a good habit that just isn't serving you anymore or whatever it may be. And there's a reason why we feel so gross about quitting. And it's that society in general thinks that quitting is basically the worst thing you can do.
I think it's because society associates quitting with weakness, and that's very much not the case. Finish that thought for me.
I agree with that. And I would say that someone who is going to strategically and, you know, consciously maybe not even strategically. If you're going to stop doing a thing or leave a thing that is no longer serving you, then you're a boss. There is no reason to stay just to stay, just to keep from being a quitter. That's not serving literally anyone, or it may be serving someone, but it's not serving you. And you're here to serve yourself on some level before serving everyone else. So I love a quitter. I mean, I don't love like a bad quitter, but a good quitter. I love a quiveter very much.
I guess that one's sticking. Okay.
It is. I'm going to keep it.
So how do we shift our mindset around quitting?
There are times when you should not quit. There are times when you should persevere. And I don't know that there is no rhyme or is there's no equation to help you figure this out. There's no diagram, I don't think. I think that every situation is so incredibly nuanced. There's no way for me to be like, you know, follow these three steps and you're going to know if you need to quit the thing or not. I think you know. I think if you like sincerely question yourself and get quiet and ask yourself if it's time to end this thing, whatever it may be, you'll know the answer. And then I think there's the second step to it, that you have to trust that the next step that you take is a good one. Mm-hmm. Even if the quitting wasn't maybe the best thing you could do, whatever you're doing next is still going to be better than staying at the thing that you didn't stay in, whatever it may be. So going back a little bit, though, I think we all need to shift our mindset around this idea of quitting. As I was scrolling through all those images, there was like an unattributed quote. It was like the one pro-quitting quote out of a sea of anti-quitting quotes. And it was, "I'm not a quitter, but sometimes the game ain't worth playing anymore." Mm-hmm. And I think that is where I live. And I've said it before, like, this is all a game. It's a fun game. It's a game that has impact and is important, and I'm not frivolous with it by any means, but business is a bit of a game. Life is a bit of a game, and there are situations in your life that aren't worth playing anymore. And so quit those things or pivot and put your energy somewhere else.
Yeah, and going back to what I opened up the show with about how I'm kind of stepping back from running my business, I guess I don't really see even that as quitting, because I guess I went full time with my business, I think in 2018 or 19, after having kind of had it be a side gig for a couple years before that. And then I started going full time with Bateiro a couple years ago. And that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to step back from my business a little bit because it's no longer my priority. And
yeah,
now
you quit then.
I did. And I think now I'm not so much quitting my business. I think it's just shifting from being my full-time priority back into more of a side gig. And I think that's kind of where a lot of people are going to relate to this episode, is that maybe you did go full-time with your business, maybe during the pandemic, and maybe things have shifted for you now and you don't want to let go of your business, but maybe it's time to, you know, make it a side gig again, or vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no right or wrong necessarily. I think there are situations where there can, like, if you're in an abusive relationship, I'm not a relationship therapist, but like.
Oh, yeah, quit that.
Okay, good. Thank you. Right? So there is some rights and wrongs, but that's like few and far between. Most of what we're talking about here is just you have to choose. And I think that's really what a lot of people struggle with, is the finality of quitting the thing. Whereas what I love about quitting is having that brain space back to move forward really with a thing that I am moving towards. Or that was a weird mix of metaphors, but whatever. So I value my brain space enough to release the shame and guilt around quitting something, because I understand the value of being able to move forward a little more untethered.
Imagine the cool stuff you can do when you free up your brain from the things that are possibly dragging you down.
Amen. 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 So what I thought would be a fun thing was do a little trip down memory lane of all the times I've quit.
Yeah, I love this. I'm so excited for this.
Because I also think there's something to normalizing it, right? There's tons of podcasts and episodes and books, blah, 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 around how to start a thing, how to run a thing. But how many of those are really about quitting? How to quit.
That is going to be the sequel to the Bean Boss book.
Right?
Being a quitter.
Being a quiveter. A quiveter. Okay. So first, I sold my first business. Quit it. Sold it. Bye.
Okay. So I think this is probably going to be the closest you got to like just quitting something.
Yeah.
So what got you to that point? What made you want to leave that business behind?
Two things. Hurricane Katrina.
Okay. That's, yeah. Solid.
That was a big one. That was a big one. I owned a brick and mortar store in the path of a hurricane when it hit, and it was devastating, and I was a baby.
You were young, too.
I was a baby. I'm not kidding. I was 19, 20. I was a baby and still in college. And that whole scenario of, because David and I also stayed for that. Like, I was there for it. My business had some damage. I was incredibly lucky in that it was incredibly minimal, but there was also the financial toll of having to be closed for weeks, because no utilities, like literally could not turn on the lights, or because really the city was kind of shut down for weeks.
Okay. And so if it was not for the act of God, would you have quit this business?
So the second reason was I wanted to move to finish my degree.
So that's a pivot.
That is a pivot. You're right. That is a pivot. That is a pivot. I wanted to put my energy. No, you know what? Because if I had stayed, I could have finished my degree there. But I needed to go somewhere else to get the better degree. So it's like that's a little gray area. I definitely quit that business. I quit that business, and I have not gone back into that business. It was a tanning salon, everybody. I've not gone back into that at all. Like, that was a legit quit, leave behind, sold it, and gone. And that was my first experience with a business, was quit. Maybe that's why I'm so okay with it. I quit my first one. It's not a thing to quit all the other ones too.
Okay, so act of God aside, do you think the inexperience of running a business played into your decision to quit? If you had running that business when you were 30 years old, do you think you would have quit?
Maybe not 30, but let's say if I had that business when I was 20 years into being a business owner, would I have made the same moves? Maybe not. Honestly, maybe not. Because I was a baby. And both, like, I mean, think about those mindsets of like, the mindsets of those first like year, 2 years, 3 years of business, plus that of a teenage brain, literally, not the same as either someone who's 30 and getting started in business or someone who's 30 and has been in business for, you know, 15 years, 10 years, something. So all that to say, no, I think it would have been different if at a different time in my life, but I think it all happened exactly the way it should have. No regrets, literally at all. I'm so glad I made that move and I continued on with my life, for sure.
All right. So I like how you have five different things listed here. So what was number two?
Okay. That I do think was the biggie for me personally, but I think other people will see some of these other ones as kind of big moves as well. One, I did close indie. So after graduating college, I started doing web design and grew it into an agency. I think at our biggest, there were 15 of us between employees and contractors working on, you know, 8-ish projects at a time. Loved what we were doing, but I started being boss as just a fun side project, and it grew into a whole business, not all by itself, but kind of on accident, actually legitimately on accident.
True story.
It grew into its own thing, and it started needing more and more of my energy, and I got more energy from that than I did the web design business. So there was probably a year to 18 months where indie was kind of in limbo. We had a couple of clients that we were wrapping up. We had a couple of clients in retainer, but I had the team, Corey included, that was really servicing those clients so that I could focus on being boss. But it was in this limbo place of like, do I keep it? Do I close it? It was in limbo, but it still needed some of my attention sometimes, which was distracting from the thing that I really wanted to do, which was being boss. And so I don't really remember where my headspace was at when we got that email from our website platform that they were shutting down. I can't remember if I had already decided that I wanted to close it or if I was just going to keep it in limbo. I don't remember. But what really was the final straw, or the whatever metaphor you want to use here, was our platform saying that they were shutting down. And that for me was like, fine, then like, I don't want to rebuild this agency to do all of this again for the same set of clients. I would rather close down the thing and really put all of my energy into being boss. So it was a very slow pivot, but it was one nonetheless. And I did end up finally just sort of severing all of those ties with that business and those clients and that way of doing business.
Yeah. So these next two things, they're kind of opposites of each other. So this first one's going to be where something was in one way going really, really well. One after that is actually going to be something that did not go so well. So these are more...
It's funny that you say that second one didn't go well. We'll talk about that in a second.
These are not really quitting a business. It's quitting something inside of a business. So it's quitting an offering that your business was putting out there. So what was this first one we're talking about?
Sure. So the first one was shutting down the Being Boss Facebook group, because that one was a hard one to talk the team into. It took me probably a year, because I was the first one who was like, y'all, this is getting crazy. Because you're right, it was going so well on like on paper.
Yeah.
Whenever we shut it down, it had over 25,000 members. It was an incredibly active place. It was insane, both insanely awesome and insanely difficult, because it was another one of those things that just accidentally happened in this business. And we just thought we were going to open up a little group for a couple of folks. 25,000 people later, and we had facilitators. We had, or not facilitators, but community managers. We were having meetings. We were having people coming in there and doing shady shit. We had people in there who didn't even know what Being Boss was. They were just in there causing a ruckus and being a pain in everybody's butt. And so, you know, the first couple of times things happened, the team was like, oh, okay, we'll figure it out. Like, test and change, build some systems. Well, you know, policies, all the things. And I'm like,
go out to the coast. We'll get together, have a few laughs. That's what it sounded like. It was...
Oh my gosh. basically, we'll figure it out. And then it got worse. It got, and while everyone inside of it, especially some of those, I meet them sometimes, some of those OG Facebook Being Boss group members. It was such a beautiful, magical place. It was like one of the first places on the internet that existed like that. It was, which is a funny thing to say. Think about that for a second, because that's also true. Which is wild. It was a really beautiful, amazing place, but it grew into a gnarly beast and we put it down.
So you quit it, yes, but you quit it because it no longer aligned with your business values.
Absolutely. That's what finally got everybody on board, was whenever, because it was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful on paper, right? We had this like, we had this metric that we could tell our advertisers. We had this community that we could access and talk to, but also sell to, if you know, want to think about it from a business standpoint. We had this amazing group, but it did not align with our values. And so everyone wanted to keep it because it was amazing in all of those ways, but it was distracting and it was rude and it was like all the things. Because of the platform that it was on, because it was on Facebook, not because of like the bosses who were in there. It was because of all the non-bosses who were in there because of the platform that it was on. And it was because bosses who were in there were distracted on Facebook when they needed to be getting to work and not like hanging out on Facebook. And many of them were sharing that sentiment with us. So this is really more of a pivot. We ended up taking that group off and moving it to, it was on Slack for a while and is now on.
I forgot about that.
Right? There was a Slack one for a minute. We relaunched it a couple of years ago on another platform. So you can still join the community, beingboss.club/community. It's not a gross place anymore. It's amazing and beautiful because we built a fence around it. Whereas on Facebook, it was just like a open football field where anybody could run through anytime, sometimes naked. Okay, not quite.
I believe that was back before Facebook allowed you to make groups private. So literally anyone could search for the Bing Boss group and find it. So you were getting all sorts of seedy people.
All sorts of folks. And so we did shut it down. I would say it was less of a pivot because when we went to Slack, the first sort of pivot off, it went from 25,000 people to like 100. Mm-hmm. Right? Like or I actually don't remember what that Slack number was. It could have been anything. I don't know. But it was nothing near 25,000. So that felt like a quit, which I have no regrets.
No
regrets.
Mostly because you hated Facebook. So
I hated Facebook years before everybody else did, for sure. Is anyone else eyeballs deep in the return of travel? Conferences, retreats, meetups, which means receipts. I'll be honest, I'd gotten used to not having my wallet overflowing with wads of flimsy paper that I just had to save. Luckily, that's not how we have to live anymore. Not me or you, thanks to FreshBooks Cloud Accounting. In fact, organizing your expenses has never been easier. Take photos of receipts with your phone using the FreshBooks mobile app and then throw the receipt away. You can even do one better by applying receipts directly to clients or invoices when you need. Travel lighter and still do your job. What more can a boss ask for? Try FreshBooks free for 30 days, no credit card required. Go to FreshBooks.com/beingboss to get started today.
So what was this next one? The first iteration of the Clubhouse, because you said it was a winner, but I remember it not ending up in a good place.
So it made a ton of money.
Yeah.
So
we'll say there were multiple iterations of Clubhouse before what the Clubhouse is today.
Yes. Yes, yes. I mean, Clubhouse in the 18 months that we ran it made well over six figures. Mm-hmm. So like from a business standpoint, it was an amazing thing. And from a from otherwise, I loved it. It actually, the first iteration of the Clubhouse is what is now CEO Day Kit. So there's also another win. We were able to get in there we did cohorts of bosses. We would let them in 20 or 25 in at a time. We would spend 2 days with them doing what is now CEO Day Kit with them. And then it was a year membership in a sort of like fenced off community space. Again, at a time when not everyone was doing communities. And it made six plus figures. Like it made like more than $100,000 in the 12 to 18 months that we did it. And it was the testing ground for what is now our best-selling digital product, which is CEO Day Kit. So unlike all the metrics that make sense, it was a total win. What we did was we did too many cohorts at a time or at once. Like we did too many cohorts in like the 12 to 18 months that we ran it, and we sold out our list faster than we could grow our list to replenish. So
that's what I remember. So is that what led to the quitting?
So that paired with the launch of the Bing Boss book and impending burnout.
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of phase of existence of Bing Boss where that happened was the book was, I think this is that timeline. I could be about a year off. I know it was book related. The biggest reason was we sold out our list, which is fine. I love that. High five. But it did make it hard for us to launch future cohorts. And instead, we decided to take the content and turn it to CEO Day Kit into an evergreen product, which is serving thousands of bosses. I still use it, beingboss.club/CEO, if anyone is interested. So it still exists. It just exists as something different. We pivoted it. But the mistake there was we outsold our list faster than we could refill our list. But we also had the book happening and then soon burned out. We would have stopped it anyway.
That leads us into our last point where nowadays we're starting new things and quitting things all the time. We're pros at quitting now.
Yeah, I am. I love it. I love to quit things. And not that I'm quitting things that are doing well or that are like super serving everyone or whatever. I've just really, again, learned the value of my time and attention. And not even of my time and attention, but the time and attention of my team. Of like, I don't want anybody wasting time on something that is not serving us individually and or the collective, right? Of either the business and or our audience. So yeah, I have totally let go of a lot of shame and guilt around the idea of quitting and otherwise prioritized making sure we are wisely showing up in any and every way that we can.
And we do this through testing and changing.
Indeed. Indeed. At this conference that I was at last week, so I don't know when this goes live. I think it actually goes
live.
Like
in November, I think.
Yeah, sorry. We're recording this enough a little early. But I was recently at a conference. I did two sessions on stage, which was a surprise. I thought I was going
to
do one.
Can we tell that story? I want you to tell that story.
Really quickly, I had I went to Inbound 2022. As part of the HubSpot podcast network, a ton of fun. I stayed up really late one night hanging out with some of my other podcast hosts and some of the HubSpot team. Stayed up really like way past my bedtime, like way, way, way past my bedtime, having such a great time because the next day I had nothing to do. And then I ended up waking up the next morning to my phone blowing up because a guest for someone else's stage live recording show did not show up and they needed someone to assist, to fill a seat. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing it. So on just a couple hours of sleep, I got up, got ready. I had only packed one outfit for a stage day. So I ended up going on stage in red pants and a Nirvana t-shirt, which felt a different kind of boss that I really did love. But I was like, I cannot believe that I'm doing this today. At a conference with 10,000 people, I'm going on stage in a Nirvana t-shirt. Okay. Doing it. So end up having two stage days. Because I saved my outfit, obviously, for my session. Sorry, not sorry.
And you know why that went so well?
Why?
Because you're not a quitter. You're a winner.
Oh, my God, Corey. Yep. Thank you.
Tying it all in.
Thank you for that. But while at that conference, on both of those stages, or the one stage both times, I brought up test and change. Because I really, truly believe that this is one of the most core mindsets and practices and beliefs of being boss is that you have the power to try something else, to make this decision one time now, and then change your mind and make it again in the future. And I think this like this acceptance of non-permanence is something, one, if you haven't learned over the past 3 years, where have you been at? You are refusing to adjust to the new normal. But testing and changing is really important for how I believe we should be showing up to do this kind of work in a way that moves with society as quickly as society is moving these days, just in general. And also just figuring out our own paths along the way. Because I do see that there is a problem that when we make decisions, we feel like we're making that decision forever. Right? Like if I quit my web design business now, I can never do web design again. And I love being a web designer. I love writing code. It's a really wonderful skill that I've picked up and I've enjoyed it so much. But if I end this business, I will never be able to be a web designer again. And that's not true.
So I feel like some people, they don't like to quit because if they quit, it feels very final. And they feel like if they don't quit completely, they're keeping it on the hook. Mm. They're keeping whatever they're not quitting on the hook to where it's always just kind of a little bit of baggage that's dragging them along. And I think that's why you put the nail in the coffin with Indy, because you were tired of that baggage holding over your shoulders. And so I think when people do quit, it is a very final thing for them.
Yeah.
Because they never want to have to think about it again.
Well, and I love that too, though. Like, I also think there is something to just quitting something because you want it to be gone. Yeah. But I think what keeps a lot of people from quitting is this idea that they can never go back. And there are some cases when you can never go back. Okay, web design. Can we go back to that one? Guess who designed the Almanac website? Guess who designed the Being Boss website? Guess who, like, went, oh, sorry, I raised my hand.
She's raising her
hand. Sorry, I realized that y'all can't see me do that. I was raising my hand. Guess who in coaching calls with bosses all the time, am I literally helping them write little bits of code to do quick fixes on their website? Raising my hand again. Right? Like, I still use those skills. I still do those things. I'm just not carrying around the baggage of a whole company and clients and processes and team and all the things. I let that go and I was able to move forward, but I still have those things within me and I can still use them as needed. So leave the doors open.
Opportunities could arise again.
Indeed. Or close those fucking doors, man. You know, like, I think that there are times and places too where, like, just quit and move on. Just quit and move on. But also, you can also choose to quit and leave the doors open. You choose.
With our last 10-ish minutes on this episode, when do you decide to quit? What questions do you ask yourself?
It's funny. I feel like I said a few minutes ago that there's not, like, any questions that I can give you. And then totally down here, I wrote three questions, didn't I? Wow, I forgot that I did that. Well, let me go back to what I said earlier. I don't think there is a blueprint. I don't think there is, like, a very, like, just everyone uses the same filter and it'll work. But here are three questions that I ask myself when it comes to business stuff.
Can I rearrange these for you? I think the second one should be the first one.
And I also think I need to add a fourth one.
I think this one is the big one. I feel like that's the first question you should ask.
Okay. I love that you say that, Corey. I love that you say that. But okay, here's question number one. Oh, Marie Kondo would love us for this one. I think you all know what's coming. Does it bring me joy? Do I like doing this enough that I want to show up for it every single day to do the thing? Or maybe not every single day, because I don't want to show up for anything on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not going to lie. But does it bring you joy on, you know, like a Thursday morning? Like, I won't even say Monday because those can be difficult too. On a Thursday morning, can you find a bit of joy in showing up to do your job? If you haven't already, I do recommend that you go back and listen to episode number 322. I had a conversation with Tegan Girard of Half-Baked Harvest. And the way she has found joy in what it is that she does in a way that allows her to be an insanely prolific creator is one that I found incredibly inspiring. Like, she has figured it out for how it is that she creates. And I think prioritizing joy really is sort of a magic little piece. So does it bring you at least some joy? And it's a job, right? It's hard work. There is baggage. There is a lot on our shoulders as one, adults, the worst. But two, as business owners. And the bigger it gets, the bigger that weight becomes. So if you can't find some joy in it, maybe quit it. Number two is, does it make money? And does it make a profit?
Yeah.
Or is there at least a clear line to profit? Maybe you're in the early stages and you're not turning a profit yet, but can you see how and when it's going to? That's acceptable. If you are 4 years into it and you still don't know how you're going to make money, you might want to ask yourself if it's really time to quit, because it might be, or make some really big changes otherwise.
Yeah.
Question number three is, does it serve its purpose? And I think this is kind of threefold, twofold if you don't have a team. One is, does it serve its purpose for you? So does it give you what you need out of it? Is it giving you the ability to pay your mortgage? Is it giving you the ability to fulfill a creative urge? Does it give you the ability to have the work-life situation that you desire or not? Number two, I think it also has to serve a purpose to your team, or some, like, big things need to shape up. And number three is, does it serve its purpose to your audience or your customer? So it's like a three-parter. So we're at, what, five questions now? I think. And then my last question, which is question number 4/6, depending on how you're counting.
Sub A, bullet point 3. Yes.
Yeah, who knows? Somewhere. XYZ happening right now. Does it align with your personal values? And if you don't know your personal values, beingboss.club/values. We have all kinds of resources, podcast episodes, a quiz, maybe a worksheet. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. All kinds of things. But those are the things that I'm reflecting on when I'm deciding if I want to quit or on something or not. And you have to dig kind of deep. I also really love having lots of conversations with other people about this because they're like, they'll be like, Emily, but you do love this thing. You light up when you talk about it. You're just having a bad day. Right? Or I'm talking to my team. Like, are we liking doing this? Is this actually bringing everybody else some joy? Right? Or is your audience even engaging or otherwise buying the thing? Is it serving its purpose to them? And if it's a no for all of those, that's an easy buy, everybody. Right? And I'm hoping a couple of you, at least listening to this, has found a moment of clarity and reflecting on those questions as to whether or not it's time for you to quit a thing or not. If you do want a bit more support, we have a worksheet that can kind of help you navigate this a little bit. We've talked about it many times here before, but if you're new or just haven't snagged it yet, it's a little worksheet we like to call what's working, kind of working, not working.
It is not a little worksheet. Don't demean it. It is a very big, important worksheet.
It is. It's
actually like our most popular one. So
it is our most. It really is the most usable one, too. I keep a couple printed out and in my little stack of worksheets. And anytime I'm ever deciding, you know, what I need to let go of, what do I need to quit? Because here's the thing. If it's in the not working, it's probably just time to throw it out. It's time to quit the thing. And put your energy into something that's more worthy of that precious resource that you have. Because we only have so many days on this earth. It went real morbid. Sorry. Right?
You're going to die. We're all going to die.
You're all going to YOLO. Right? Quit it now and go do the thing you want to do. Jesus. So, anywho, I would love for everyone to get a little more okay with quitting. Personally, I love to quit. I love to quit things that are not serving me or my people or don't bring me joy, because then it just gives me more time and energy and space to do the things that I want to do. And I want that for everybody.
So basically, go be a quitter. Woo!
Yeah! Bing boss for quitters. All right, boss, because you're here, I know you want to be a better creative business owner, which means I've got something for you. Each week, the team at Being Boss is scouring the news, the best entrepreneurial publications, and updates and releases of the apps and tools that run our businesses, and is curating it all into a weekly email that delivers the must-know tips and tactics in the realms of mindset, money, and productivity. This email is called Brewed. We brew it up for you each week to give you the insight you need to make decisions and move forward in your creative business. Check it out now and sign up for yourself at beingboss.club/brewed. That's beingboss.club/BREWED. Now, until next time, do the work, be boss. Yeah.